Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. God bless you. It is currently 1 o'clock, and I'm so blessed to be here today. I'm so blessed to be in the presence of the Lord, and also the Lord's presence in me. Amen. It's been an episode of talking about sacrifices, wants, and needs. And today we're still on that trail. I'm not sure. I don't really know or understand why, but only God does. We are going to have a good time today in the Lord. We're going to pray to God first, and then of course we get started on our message and song today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, that you've allowed us, God, once again to come on Blog Talk Radio and to spread your word. Lord, today, starting today, God, I'm all about building your kingdom, Lord. I'm all about taking care of what needs to be taken care of, God, because this message is truly all about priorities. Lord, we have a lot of wants, a lot of things that we're after. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you just use this message, Lord, as a tops, Lord, so that people will feel, Lord, the need to take care of their priorities. And God, so that whatever is in the way, Lord, I pray, God, that you just have your way in all things. I know we go through a lot of trials and we experience a lot of heartaches in this world, Lord, but I realize that without you, we can do nothing. God, I pray, Lord, that you just rain your blessings down on this message, Lord, in songs, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing a couple of songs. My first song I'm going to sing, and Dallas is going to be putting the number on the wall. If you feel like you want to call in and request prayer, God knows your heart more than I do. And as any preacher would, whatever conversation you have on here with me stays on here, and it won't go out to anyone. Of course, you don't have to mention all your story. But if you have a prayer request or anything that you want to be pray about, please feel free to. Number is going to be 646-787-8638. That's 646-787-8638. Many times I've questioned certain circumstances, things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, my frustration gets so out of hand. In those times I'm reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all the victories, spirit rises up in me. It's through the fire, my weakness made so strong. No, he never promised that my cross will not get heavy and the hill will not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the devil says you just give in. Oh, no, my Lord will show up. He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself
myself that I would surely perish. But if I have a shield of faith, fill me flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, here the end. Oh, Lord, my Lord will show up. He will take you through the fire again. Oh, Lord, my Lord will show up. He will take you through the fire again.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above, I'm a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And these clothes, they're not new. And I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. All the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love and a fine family. One more song, we'll get started on this message. God bless you all. Thank you all for listening. I've got Dallas on here, plus more listeners.
thank Him for. Yes, I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. Lord, and when I think of what You've done and where You brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Are you thankful today? Are you thankful for what God has given you? I'm telling you what, He's a provider. And sometimes, while on this way, I need to stop and say thank You for all You've done for me. One day I'll reach sweet heaven's shore of peace. Let me kneel once more. I've got so much to thank Him for. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me. And when I think of what He's done, where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. When I think of what He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Thank Him for.
I want to do a new song here. This is actually a song I've done in a long time. It's one of my mom's favorites. The song is called Why Me, Lord. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even more of the pleasures that I've done? What did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness You've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know. I can try to repay all I've taken from You. Maybe I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to You. Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Oh, now that I know that I need it,
another day. Someone will and then was that someone new? You may have long or at this dream your courage to do. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for us, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night or its light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. No, run away and hide. It is no secret what God do, what He's done for us. I know He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Thank you.
Before I preach, I have a following video I want to share with you. Wondering what that video was that I was trying to show you. I thought there was going to be some sort of talk on it, but I'm going to go and explain to you what that video was all about. It was about a young man that he was getting up in the morning, and he has this right on board that you basically, it's a dry erase board, and on that dry erase board he had so many lists of priorities that needed done. And he would get up, putting on his glasses. He would get up, putting on his glasses and putting on his real nice fancy suit, putting on his real nice fancy clothes that he loves to wear every single day. And he doesn't have a car, but he has a bike. And before he gets on his bike, here's what he does. He gets up out of bed, putting his stuff on, and, you know, right next to him, there's some cereal on the table, a box of cereal on the table that was opened up. There were some bowls in some spots, and there were some clothes all over the floor. And, well, he started just getting up, getting ready, and he went to the fridge. And as he was going to the fridge, he realized that, oh, no, I'm out of milk. Sounds just about like us, doesn't it? After he realizes that he's out of milk, he gets on his bicycle. He realizes that he forgot to pay the trash, the waste company for the trash that is taken up. And he has so many things on his list that he did not take care of until they all of a sudden all piled up on him. Sounds like us, doesn't it? We let things pile up on us. And when they do pile up on us, seems like sometimes things get a little crazy every once in a while. I'm going to use my best friend Melanie for example. She was working one day over at the theaters, at the AMC theaters. And, the night crew, when the day shift crew that is closing, whether it be concessions or whether it be walking out or whether it be ushers, they have a job to do. And that job is to make sure the theater is properly clean, and the concessions to make sure the popcorn maker is all cleaned up, and to make sure the floors are swept, and to make sure the auditoriums are presentable. But in between then, there's been some duties that was let go of. Not really relieved, but let go of. Melanie came in one time, and she realized as she was walking in, she started to make some popcorn, and what happened? There was stuff under the popcorn maker. There was stuff in the popcorn maker that people forgot to clean up. And there was all kinds of stuff all over the floor in that theater, not including the auditoriums that weren't greatly cleaned. You see, folks, we have what we call propositions in our life. I'm not sure if you know what that means, but propositions is opposed things that we are supposed to do. Proposed things that we're supposed to do, not opposed. But it seems like anymore these days, we oppose them right away, don't we? Because, well, first thing we think is, well, I got plenty of time. And when you're realizing you're looking at your work schedule and you're looking at your schedule on the phone and all of a sudden you don't, you know, your past work schedule goes by, your new work schedule comes in, and what happens next? You are caught in between of catching up with work and your schedule of taking care of what needs to be taken care of in the first place, priorities. Now, before I get into this really funny story in the Bible about between two sisters, a sister and a maid, and of course a little dealing that Jesus Christ had to deal with in his ministry, I've got a question I want to ask you. First of all, the question is this morning, what is your priority? Dallas, if you don't care to put that on the wall, on my wall or whatever, what is your priority today? Do you have a mindset of what you have planned to do? Did you get up this morning? I don't want you to put all that. I just want you to ask them a question. What is your priority today? If you don't mind asking them that, Dallas. I want to see exactly what people say on the wall, and I want Dallas to share some of those things that was said, but what is your priority, folks? You know, when I was a kid, my dad would stay disciplined in most of priorities that was that needed to be taken care of because that was my dad. You know, he had the one job, and the one job that he had was to take care of me, to make sure my mother was taken care of, and to make sure the bills and the house was paid for, and to make sure there was just enough money to get food on the table. I realized every time we went to a grocery store, every time we went to Walmart, or every time we went to Toys R Us, I would always point and wanted something. And my dad would heartfully, faithfully tell me no. And what would I do? I would pitch a fit. You say, brother, sounds like the message you preached last week. Kind of is, but it kind of is. So you're going to have to pay attention. I would get so mad and upset because I couldn't have what I wanted. My dad, he had a lot of things on his mind. He had a lot of things on his heart. And the one thing that he had on his mind and heart was priorities. Bills needed to be taken care of. Food that needed to be bought. He had all this on his mind and all this on his heart. And did I care one bit? No, I sure didn't. I just ignored every single one of it because I wanted my share. What's the first thing that we do when we help somebody? We want our share, right? Somebody comes up to us, they ask us for help. Next thing you know, we're asking them a question, what's in it for me? That's always the question we want to ask, what's in it for me? You know, I live 20 miles away from you. If I come to your house and help you out, what's going to be in it for me? You want to know the problem with us is today, the problem with the world is today? We expect. We expect to receive something for something, in exchange for something. Because we think to ourselves that we are the ones who deserve all the credit. Let me tell you something. If you're in this Christian life, just expect something, then you don't need to be in this Christian life. You don't even need to be saved. Because why? Because Jesus, he wants us to come with open hearts. He wants us to come with empty hands. He wants us to come with an empty spirit. So that why? So that he could build us, so he can make us ready, so that he could send us where he wants us to go. But a lot of times we have so much trouble organizing between what God wants and what we want. You see, we put our wants first before God, and the next thing, when we put our wants first before God, I know this, everything piles up. For example, I'm going to use me, and it's going to be an old me type moment. I love my Xbox. Ask Dennis. Ask Melanie. Ask Tom. I love my Xbox. They will tell you that I am addicted to that thing. Now, when I was a kid, the first video game that I set my mind on was the Nintendo DS. You know, the regular Nintendo system. I loved it. My dad had a friend. His name was Ron. And every time I would go over there to his house, the first thing I wanted to do is when I get out of church is play that Nintendo. No, like, Uncle Ron, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to be downstairs listening to some music, and he's going to be cleaning the house. And I'm leaving Nintendo, that would be my first question. And what it should have been is there anything you want me to do for you, Uncle Ron, before I do anything else? That would just be me trying to say, hey, what's in this for me if I do this? You see, we all have so many things in perspective. And like me, I had so many things in perspective. I had clothes to do. Dishes needed to be helped to be done. And what did I do instead? I played the Xbox. I spent my whole life, I spent my whole heart, I spent my whole mind on playing that Xbox. That's where all that went to. And so I let all that build in between my priorities. And let me tell you something. When that builds in you, that's all you ever want to do is play something you're addicted to or do something you're addicted to. You don't want to discipline yourself. You don't want to let it go. You just want to kind of see what level you can get to or how good that you can actually be. Knowing God says one day, hey, you're not going to grow right here. All that's going to grow is your talent in this game. All that's going to grow is your knowledge in this game, but I need you to grow somewhere else. That day was this morning when I was asleep. I realized that this certain person was on my heart still, and I couldn't let her go. Her name is Brittany. She's my wife still. We're separated. We're going through a divorce. I need you to pray for that. But I still love Brittany with all my heart, and if she needed money right away, if I had it, I would give it to her honestly. She is still a good person. She's a mother of an adopted kid trying to take care of him. She's a teacher that teaches, and she reaches her heart out to everyone all around her. God wants us to do the same thing. Well, this morning when I was in bed, the first thing that I was going to think of is when I first get up, man, I'm going to get on that game and I'm going to play it. But then God came knocking on the heart and said, but think about this for a minute. You've got your clothes that need to be separated. You've got the dishes that need to be helped with. Not everybody can do everything at once. Trust me, I know how it is. Because the job that I work at requires 8 arms in one person. God says, listen, would you rather have 8 arms or would you rather have yourself to do this instead of having the 8 arms? Man, if I could grow 8 arms, man, I'd be so amazing. I'd be like Stretch Armstrong with 8 arms and ready to go. I could be doing priorities and be doing laundry and doing my weather stuff and playing the Xbox all at the same time. Man, God would be completely pleased with me. I don't think he would be because he expects me to take care of responsibilities and priorities first. And then later on, once I take care of those things, God says, man, you can enjoy the ones. You see, the one thing that we are very, very incapacitated of is patience. When we want things right away. when we need things right away. Knowing those needs, they're the most important things that come first. But what do? We know that those needs come first. But what do? Instead, we pay attention to more of our wants instead. I got a story I want to tell you, and it's a funny story, and then we're going to get into the Bible in just a minute. When I first moved to Lafayette, Georgia, I would always take care of the one thing that was needed to be taken care of first, and that were all my wants. And one day I started realizing and sitting down, are these wants really doing anything for me? I felt that deep down inside I was missing something. I felt that I was missing something in the heart. I felt like I was missing something in the mind. And God was telling me, hey, this is what you're missing. This is what you're missing. This is what you need to do first in order for things to be accomplished. I don't know about you, but me, I wrestle with priorities and wants every single day of my life. The need for priorities is to be taken care of as soon as possible versus the needs of wants that can always be put on the back burner and taken care of later on. Because if I always pay attention to my wants, if I always feed my need, if I always feed my wants, if I always pay attention to my wants instead of my needs, nothing is really getting accomplished. I'm going nowhere. I'm getting nowhere. I'm stuck in the no zone of doing nothing area. And so what I had to do is I had to get down on my knees and I said, God, something is not right. Something is not right here. Why are things taking more of a slow time than what they usually do? Why is this not getting done? Why is that not getting done? You know what God said? It's all your fault. All my life I've been wanting to prosper. I've been wanting to become something in the eyes of God's kingdom. I've been wanting to become something in the eyes of people. But I couldn't become that person because I had the lazy person in my way first. I had him in front of me. There's two Steves that I share myself with. The one Steve, he's the nicer Steve. He's the cooler Steve. He's more laid back. He loves to work. He loves to help people. He loves to make sure that people's needs are met whenever he can help do so. He's a funny guy, very integrative in his heart. And a go-get-it kind of guy. But there's another Steve, and he always loves to stay grumpy. He always loves to stay down. He always loves to think about the past. He always loves to go back and think about what he could have, what things he could have done better. Instead of making things worse. Sometimes you have to sit down and talk with someone. Me, I had to sit down and talk with my other Steve this morning, and I said, listen, you have to wait for just a long while. In fact, I'm canceling your services right now because this is what God needs. I understand that you are a guy that wants to have fun. I understand that you're a guy that wants to sit around and be lazy. I understand when you're off work that you just don't want to do anything. But listen, God is jumping my hind end because I'm not getting things done. God is jumping my hind end because I'm letting you have too much fun. I'm letting you do whatever you want to do instead of me doing what I need to do. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 10. I'm not sure if you ever heard this story or not, but it's about a servant's need. awesome story. I think about actually having this in Sunday school class, and it's a very valuable lesson. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. It says, and as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, and who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But what Martha was distracted by was all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me? I do the work myself. In other words, Martha was really, really nasty to Jesus because her sister left her to go and do what the Lord wanted her to do. And you know what? She got so distracted. Now, she told Jesus, our commanding officer of the Salvation Army, she told Jesus, she said, you tell her to help me now. Tell her to get her hot in back here and help me with this because I have so much to do and I'm not doing this myself. She didn't ask Jesus. She told Jesus. Here's what I love what Jesus said to her. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are really needed. Few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, what is right for her. This is also what she needs. That's a powerful message. Believe it or not, that is one message in itself right there. You see, here's the picture of Martha. She sees the Lord coming afar off. She's so excited because the first thing that she's really worried about is there's important company on the way. I've got to get preparations made. I've got to have the supper cooked. I've got to have the floors cleaned. I've got to have the dishes put up. I've got to go and straighten up, pick all these papers where I've been writing all kinds of notes. But Jesus would only say, you need to calm down. Okay? The world is not ending. Your life is not ending. Understand you've got so much you've got to do. But there's one thing I sent Mary to do, and that's the things that are needed most important in this life. Regardless of how old I am, I'm 34. Deep inside, I feel like a 12-year-old child. Because I'm always warning. I'm always angry. I'm always throwing a fit because I don't like to be disciplined. I'm the type that inside that likes to run wild. I'm the type that inside that wants to get out there and tear the whole town up without even thinking. On the outside, there's a fully disciplined, godly man that's waiting to step out, bust across that line, and play the football on life. You see, folks, life is like a game of football sometimes to me. Get your cleats on, you get those shoulder pads, tighten up. You know that in your mind, that in your incompetent mind, that you've got a game to play. You know how tough this opponent's going to be. You just don't understand what the strategy is. And all you're doing within yourself is you're getting yourself ready for that strategy. And if, once you go out there, the first thing that your coach will tell you is don't worry about your opponent. You only worry about what's on that scoreboard when the game is on. Play your best. The scoreboard will tell the tale when the game is over. You see, it seems like what I'm saying is it seems like sometimes when we are so focused and so competent about wanting to take care of all these things that we have in mind, the first thing we focus on is how we're going to do it. And when we focus on of how we're going to do these things, it takes a lot of time to organize, knowing that we could be doing them first and then keep the focus going of how to do things as we're doing. You see, here's what Jesus once again said to Martha. Look down, look here in verse 21 and listen to what he says. Martha, Martha. In other words, those two words in parentheses, Lord is telling Martha, you need to calm down. That's like a child talking to her, talking to his or her parent the way that she talked with Jesus. Listen, I've got many things to do. I need you to go get Mary now. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you have worried, you're worried and upset about many things. A few things are needed, or indeed only one. Martha has chosen, or Mary has chosen, what is better for her. Here's what Jesus said secondly. He said, it will not be taken away from her. In other words, she thought she put Jesus in the place. Martha thought that she put Jesus in the place. But Jesus put Martha in the place. Because Jesus knew what was needed the most. Jesus knew what priorities Martha, that Mary was sent out there. So I have a question for you this morning. Been on my mind and on my heart all day. What do you consider in your life priorities? What do you consider in your life? What I want you to do, I'm going to challenge you for the radio station for next week. What I want you to do is I want you to write down on paper priorities versus me. And you question, you look within yourself at your wants versus your priorities. And you will be surprised when you count it all out inside you. How many of those priorities are really wants? And how many of those wants are really priorities? And I guarantee you, they won't outweigh one another. But I guarantee you that your priorities are going to be at the bottom of that list. Priorities is what are listed and done as soon as possible. It seems that all my life it's been a game of thrones versus priorities and wants. I don't know about you, but my wants have come first before my priorities. All my priorities, it is often that sometimes we want to put them on the back burner, and pretty soon priorities are going to start knocking on our doorstep and said, hey, you should have taken care of me in the first place. Me, I used to really not care about being organized or having a schedule to do certain things. And now later on in life, when I look at it, I realize that's how important having a schedule really is. Because why? Because that schedule helps us to stay on task. It helps us to get things done in an organized and fashioned way. And not only that, but you're going to appreciate that schedule. Because once you get that schedule and once you keep that schedule is going to be your guide, your sense to help you keep things managed, whether people like it or not.
most people in life, they want to be laid back, and they really don't want to do anything. Well, you're, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, write that schedule down, you put it up there, and you look at those people and you say, this is how it needs to be done. Things I want a lot of times, the things that I've been after have been worthless. And really, in all honesty, the things that I've been wanting all my life doesn't even add up into the kingdom of heaven. You know what God wants? God wants to see me succeed. He wants to see me succeed in my job. He wants to see me succeed at my church. He wants to see me succeed in my hobbies that I do weather-wise. He wants me to succeed as a future father to a great family. He wants to see me succeed as a great entrepreneur that is open to many opportunities. That way, when those opportunities open and I go into those opportunities, there's more that becomes open. It's like an endless seed that is planted. Once you plant it, once you water it well, once you give it the correct sunlight, once you keep it in the roots of its depth of the heart, it grows continuously and it never wants to die. It always grows. Kind of like the winter time. I love science. I love the heck out of science. Atmospheric meteorology, love it. I love to go out there and chase those wave-banging storms whenever they come up across the mountain and whenever they come across the valley. That's my favorite thing to do. But during the wintertime, if you notice, every tree that dies in the fall, before winter, loses it seeds. And it may seem like that when the winter chill sets in, as the cold southerly winds change to the north and the cold wintry chill sets in, what happens next? The tree withers, and all of a sudden within yourself, you think, oh, it's. You want to know? You want to know something awesome about the tree? Is that unless you kill the root, or unless you kill the seed that is always prepared is buried in the winter and never dies. And that following spring comes. There's new trees to be found. There's new plants that grows. There's new poppies that grows in your yard. There's new tulips that grow in the middle of July. And what does that do? It makes you want to just enjoy the awe of the amazing prettiness that grows. God is so awesome because if you think about it, everything that dies in the winter grows back in the spring, grows back in the summer. And the best thing about it is whatever grows in the spring, whatever grows in the summer, God has laid out and has already prepared for that to happen. And it seems like every year, every other year, things just don't seem to die out as quickly. Instead, things don't seem to even chug down as quickly. They get better. And the more enjoyable they get or they become, the more in awe and amazing to us it is all to see, and it brings tourists everywhere in the countries and all over the nation, and they look at these spectacular things. But what if, my question next is, what if God didn't prepare ahead of time? What if God didn't really care about parties? What if God really didn't care about the needs of his people? Crops would die. Well, the answer is simple. Life would end as we know it. Because if God stopped caring There will be no storm clouds in the sky to bring us rain. If God stopped caring, there will be no way for the economy to make the money that they're making. If God stopped caring, all this world would end in a moment's notice. The crops would die, the animals would die, and pretty soon, before you know it, the people would die because there would be no rain. And without rain, no crops could grow. And without those crops, there would be no way to make medicine. There would be no way to make food. There would be no way to experience the greatness and the blessing that we experience today. Oh, doesn't that just make you want to just say thank you, God? Thank you, God, for that tree that's out in my yard. Thank you, God, for that wonderful plant that grows out there at my next door neighbor's place. You may not realize that God puts a lot of work into his creation. Whether it be when a new kitten is born, whether it be when a new dog, when a dog is giving birth, whether it be your wife giving birth to a beautiful baby, God had to do some planning ahead of time in order for all that to happen. You see, that in itself, but within the creation, is speaking to your heart, is knocking in your mind and saying, I have thought of you first before you thought of me. There's a place down near Muddy Pond. It's where I used to live at. Me and my friend, when we were going there every once in a while, between Muddy Pond and up near City State Park in Jamestown, there was every creek that you could go to for water. There was one spring of water that was always clear and that was always fresh, and people would go in the back of that holler to get that water. It was like a queen well. I want to see something. I would fill my water bottle up because we would be on hikes, so we would be kind of climbing caves that day. I wasn't much of a fan of cave climbing after that. The one cave we went to was called the Rainbow Cave, and inside the Rainbow Cave, it went for miles and miles. It looked like it was more than about 3 football fields long. We went through about 4 or 5 rooms inside that cave. There's about probably 6 or 7. There's about probably 6 or 7 areas of levels of the cave that you had to do. When we got to that 6th level, I wanted to turn around and go back. I did not even want to get in that cave and even chance it. Because we came to a point where there was this little hole Willis wanted me to climb down in. My friend was like, hey, here, climb down this hole and squeeze your way through. I'm like, I can't do it. He said, yeah, you can. So I would go over weaves of rocks and weaves of little curves and mountains in that cave. And then when I came through that little hole, I heard something go, Kee! It was a bottomless fall. And that's when I decided to fall. And I said, I'm not doing it. It was too dark. Willis had a small little flashlight. He used it on his head. I didn't have really of anything except my phone. And I wasn't about to go through that hole because I realized if I went through that hole, there was no other rocks that was going to catch you on the sidewalls. And I realized that if I went through that hole, I wouldn't have been here right now today. Because that cave, where that area was at, that hole gets all the way 180 foot or more down. It was an endless deep. I couldn't imagine the damage that would have been done to my body if I would have fell. There have been so many people killed in that cave for endless and stupid things they've done because they wouldn't watch them. You see, the one thing that we have to do when it comes to parties is we got to be like that cave. Our wants, we're climbing through. We're trying to get through every hole. We're trying to get through every nook and corner there is. But finally, we come to a point where there's a endless drop. And if we go in that drop, and if we go down that drop, there's no way we're going to be able to come back up. That's why it's so important to stop. Ask God first. God, I realize I want this. But what do you really want from me? God will look at you, whisper to you, say, thank you. Look around you. Your answer is there. A lot of times we're always looking for answers, aren't we? We're always looking for answers to solve the most complete problems. But really, the answer that we've been trying to look for is right there in front of us, right there beside us, in plain view. A lot of times when it comes to parties, we like to take our mind off one thing and put our mind on another. Because all we really care about is wanting to get this done, wanting to get that done. Boom, 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 boom. Get there, get it done, get out. That's all we care about. And before you know it, what are we doing? We're leaving a mess all the way around us. Because we should have taken care of that one thing first. We should have just finished what was started. We finish if we stop and we finish what we started. The 9 times out of 10, later on, we're going to be able to enjoy life a lot more than what we first started out enjoying. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, and I'm almost done, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing you got to realize is, hey, I know I have my want, but I know there's also priorities in my life. God, what do you want me to do? He'll tell you first. Say, man, do what is right first. Don't just do what's right for you. Don't just do what's right for me. Do what's right for your whole family. You know the sacrifices you need to make. You know the moves that you need to take. You know the important steps that you need to climb above. The reason why you're not going anywhere now is because you're not doing it. Listen, God's not looking for a person who wants to be a couch sitter. He's looking for a person who is willing to get up. He's looking for a person who is willing to say, God, I'm ready to go to that next level. But before I go to that next level, Lord, I'm going to obey your will and take care of this first. Oh, I think about the rich man, and the rich man of all the good things that he could have had in his life. Jesus told him the one thing. He said, go and take up your cross and follow me. But what did he do instead? He thought of all of his riches and all the things that was endowed to him. What does he do next? He decides to walk away grievingly because, oh, he just couldn't do it. You have to do what is right, even if it means sacrificing. We have to do what is right, even if it's sacrificing the most things that mean to us. We have to do what is right. A lot of times, things that seem so wrong to us may seem right. And we get it all confused, and it all lapses in our mind. But we know what needs to be done. Those of you that are listening on the radio, you know what needs to be done. I know what needs to be done. So then why go ask God the question, God, what do I need to do to prepare myself in this situation? What do I need to do to really become perplexed in your great creation that you have set in your mind for me? God's going to look at you and say, this is what you need to do first. But a lot of times in life, we let things distract us. We're focused on the one thing that needs to be focused on. And we lose distraction. The number one thing about setting our parties is we got to have a mindset. We're going back to that schedule I was telling you about earlier. We got to have that schedule of life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on the things that are above, not the things are on earth. I know that's just talking about the kingdom of heaven, how to build the kingdom of heaven for you through Jesus Christ. But understanding your priorities and taking care of all your priorities first, believe it or not, it does build the kingdom of heaven. Because why? Because you are taking care of your health. You're taking care of your household. You're taking care of what many of you take care of. And realizing, believe it or not, as you're taking care of all that, you're growing not only in the kingdom of heaven, you're growing not only in your priorities, but you're also growing into the responsible building of the kingdom of heaven of Jesus Christ. And that's what's so awesome about it. And then pretty soon it's going to get to where I don't need a thing, Lord. You already know what I need. You already have my plan set out. You already have my future thought of. You already have everything before me that is set straight before you. I hear the Holy Spirit tell me deep inside, before I come, here I am. Before I come, here I am. Isn't that what Abraham said with his son? Before my wants, I'm going to lay my son down. Hardest thing about parties is trusting those parties. Hardest thing about parties is staying with the plan. It's more intense. Leaving off your priorities feels like this. There was one night at work. We had a game plan perfectly set. Dean, Melanie, and I both did. Because there has to be a certain time that we got to be out of that place. Uh-huh. When that time hits on that schedule, it's time to get out. While we were there, we had a perfect game plan. We had that mindset of all the things that we needed to do and all that needed to be done and a perfect plan at closing. And all of a sudden, one distracted person comes in and says, no, it needs to be done this way, or you can do it at this time, or you can do it at that time. And what did that do? That's the sun. And it caused us into trouble. You see, sometimes, folks, the devil sees these parties. Then he wants to have a say-so over some of them. And then what happens next? We lose focus. We get too distracted. And the next thing you know, we're leaving things behind that we should have just taken care of in the first place and should have stepped to in the first place. If you come in the mind of the field of the game, if you come in the mind of the game of the field of your mind with a game plan, and you're going to leave out with that same game plan that you first came in. Let me tell you something. Soldiers just don't decide they're going to go to war. There has to be something that's going to start that war. There has to be a disagreement to get that war started in between two countries before it even starts. And they just don't go in the field and start fighting either. There's command that brings up the battle plan. And even though at the end, there's wounded. There's some that were killed. Even dear, beloved loved ones that were even killed and lost. The important thing is you stuck to that battle plan through the battle, through that war. And the same plan that you went into that field with is the same plan that you left out. See, folks, we don't need to lose hearts.
Bible says in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is becoming renewed every single day. Listen, God knows the hard times we're having. God knows the rocks and mountains of life that we're climbing. God understands how rough it's been because guess what? He's been there longer than we have. He's also put a special person in our life that's been there longer than we've ever been. That knows the way, that knows how treacherous and how rocky and how stormy it's going to become. That's why God places it. And in fact, that's why God sent his own son, Jesus, because Jesus has not been through a place that we haven't been through. Luke chapter 11:16, last scripture. And Jesus told them, saying, the land of the man produces plenty. The land of a rich man produces plenty. Jesus is not saying that you have to have a lot of money. When we think of rich, that's the first thing that we think of is money, money, money. The right kind of rich is love, friendship, honor. How about respect? If we said all this, then pretty soon it's going to build like it's never built before. And people are going to start seeing the improvement that's being made. And the next thing you know, they're going to be wanting to do the very same thing you are. They're going to be asking you, how are you coming through this? Or how did you get through that? How are you even smiling right now? You think that's insane. Because I have taken care of the priorities that God has placed in my life first. That's how I came out of this matter. That's how I came through the loss of my son. That's how I came through the loss of my mother. Is because there were priorities needed to be spec first. And I took care of those that I don't know you to. We have to take our eyes off of them, off of those moments. And we have got to build a priority level. And if you build that list this week, think about what I preached about. Pray to God about it. Say, God, where am I? What am I doing? And if you have to do like I did, sit down and have a talk with yourself. And say, look, you haven't really been doing a great job. And fire that person. Get him out of your life. Let God take you the rest of the way. I've got a couple of requests on Facebook I want to talk about real quick. We're going to go ahead and talk about some of those. I have a prayer request to remember the Largan family. Not sure what's going on there. I've also have a prayer request to remember the Prince family, as well as the Headley family. I'm not sure what's going on there, but all those requests will be remembered and prayed about every day of the week. Next week, please tune in to our radio station. We're going to continue the role of life. In the meantime, let us enter into an attitude of prayer and pray to our Heavenly Father. piano music on. The song is called In Your Presence.
What is your parties like? Do you have a base set schedule? Are you ready to take on the goals of life? Often we set our goals. And when we set our goals, we don't let those priorities take effect like they should. Remember, what does that do? That stops. That's one priority that isn't going to be stopped because of that. Amen. Listen, I know you're pregnant, going through a really hard road right now. I know that you seem like no one cares about you. Listen, I've got a road that's paved with my blood. That's waiting for you right now at this very moment. I have set a way for you that no man can take away, that no woman can ever take. I, the Lord your God, have already achieved that way. About your family, thinking about your health, thinking about your insurance, thinking about the burdens you don't really want to leave when you leave this world. Listen, God says, I'm here for you right now. I'm going to help you take care of this. I'm going to help you fight through this. I am going to help you build your achievement. I want you to build it in the first place. God loves you, my friend. God loves every single one of you. And the first thing he's not going to let us do is fall when our priorities come. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you for this beautiful message, Lord, that you placed on. Lord, I pray that you let our priorities come in the way of you. Come in the way of you, how you want us to take them. Lord, you're so amazing. Your grace is so wonderful. And Lord, I want to thank you for healing. I want to thank you for all you've done in my life. And all that you will do in our lives. Lord, you are so amazing. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. God bless you all. I want you to tune in next week for another episode of this Blog Talk Radio message. And remember that Jesus loves you. Yeah.